Hey everybody, it's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fly Longer podcast. We hope by the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Discuss of what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm just going to speak for a very short time, and then we're hoping most of that time can be with you guys. But yeah, if you're new here at Flat Church, I just want to welcome you. Welcome to our gathering. What if you let us know where you guys are gathering us from, but with us from, but also if you are new here and you want to get connected to our church community, go to our website, floodchurch.com /connection. And there you're going to find the connection card. And when you get there, just fill in the information and we're going to get in touch with you. So if you want to get connected to our Flood Church, yeah, do that. Go on our website. Also here we have, prayer time that we call Prayer Cafe. This happens every Monday from 5:30 p.m. And we do this in person at church opposite Gateway Mall Flood Church, Lilongwe. But also we do this online. So you guys can join in. Either you can come in person at church, or you can just join with us online. And the way you do that, if you want to know how you can join with us online, hey, send us a message. You could send us a message through our Facebook Messenger, or you can send us an email, humphreys@flatchurch.com, and we're going to respond and get you guys connected. And also, we are still encouraging you guys to continue giving. I know it's a bit weird when we're not meeting in person. Sometimes giving can kind of like go at the back of your mind. But I want to encourage you guys, if you can continue giving and being generous to our church community, just because there's a lot of needs around us that we need to respond to. And we have been doing that as a church, and we could do more. So continue giving to our church community. You can give through Airtel Money. You can give through Mpamba or bank-to-bank transfers. You can also give through PayPal. And for you to find that information, go to our website as well. Probably you can also see it on the screen, but also go to our website, floodchurch.com/give. And then there you can have all of the information that you need on how you can give to our church community. Thank you, guys. Today I'm actually wrapping up our sermon series that we've been calling Encountering Jesus. And what we've been saying in this sermon series, actually the bottom line is that what we behold the most forms us the most. What we behold the most forms us the most. What you see is what you actually become. The more you see something, you begin to kind of either align with it in terms of ideas, or you begin to become like it. And the more we see Jesus, we become more like Jesus. And we've just been encouraging one another, like, hey, let's go and meet with Jesus. And we've been looking for the last few weeks into when we go and meet with Jesus, what happens there? What does Jesus do when we encounter him? And today we're going to be looking into this, a very famous story of a young man who met Jesus, who encountered Jesus in Luke chapter 5, verses 18 to 25. Luke 5, verses 18 to 25. And before we jump into the word, let me just pray for us. God, we thank you. We bless you, Jesus. What an amazing God you are. You're so gracious. You're so amazing. I thank you, God, for you are glorious. And God, I pray as we dive into this word, I ask God for your spirit to speak to our hearts. That God, we can listen and hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's read together Luke 5, verses 18 to 25. And this is what the Bible says. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. That's the word of God. There has to be something about Jesus that there were people that were willing to carry someone on a stretcher for a very long time so that they could reach Jesus. There has to be something else about Jesus Christ, that there was a group of people that were willing to go to a house of someone they did not know because they wanted to reach Jesus. There has to be something about Jesus, that there was a group of people that were willing to destroy the roof of someone else's house so that they reach Jesus. There has to be something else about Jesus Christ, that a group of people were willing to be ridiculed, for people to, you know, to look, you know, at them weirdly, or to say weird things, you know, to consider them as weirdos. But they were willing to endure that ridicule. They were willing to endure those weird looks because they wanted to reach Jesus Christ. There is something about Jesus Christ that a group of people would be so willing to put their reputation on the line, for people to think of them, you know, as destructive. You know, these guys were destructive. They were distracting everyone else. We're having our peace, listening to Jesus, and there comes destruction. And they were willing to put their reputation on the line. They were willing to be conceited as uncaring. Hey, don't you care that this is someone else's house? Don't you care that we are here hearing the Master? Don't you care? Can you not think? They were willing to put their reputation on the line. They were willing to put their reputation on the line because other people maybe considered them as attention seekers. They just want to seek attention. They want everybody to look at them. But there has to be something about Jesus Christ, that these men were willing to do all of these things. They endured these looks. They endured the murmurings. They endured the judgmentalism that people were giving them. They endured everything because there has to be something that attracted them to Jesus. What is it about Jesus that attracts you to him? What is it? What is it about Jesus Christ that attracts you to him, that you can say, you know, I will not allow anything else to stand between me and Jesus. I want to reach Jesus. Whatever that is, it doesn't matter. I want to go and encounter my Lord, encounter Jesus Christ. What is it that hinders you from the having that encounter with Jesus? Now, we did ask this question as well when we were starting this sermon series, when we are looking at distractions. You know, that we have distractions around us, and what distractions can you see around you? But more so, I want to actually look into what excuses do you have? What excuses do you have? Because there has to be a moment when you have to choose between an excuse and change. There has to be a moment when you have to choose, you know, will I go to Jesus or will I not go to Jesus? Am I willing to encounter Jesus or am I willing to just be and give all kinds of excuses? Because until you can see that, and you can see things that hinder you from encountering Jesus, until you can see that there are things that attracts you to Jesus, you're either going to stand in confidence and in faith and go to Jesus, or you're just going to see. Because these people actually had all kinds of excuses. Hey, they had all kinds of excuses that could have hindered them from going to Jesus. You know, here's someone else who is sick. Should we really bother this young person, this man? Should we really bother him, carrying him in the sun and walking and carrying him on top of the house and dropping him down? Should we really bother this sick man? What if he dies in our hands? What are we going to do? What will people think of us? They had all kinds of excuses, but they had to choose between excuses and change, between excuses and progress. And they have to choose that. So either they were going to sit back or they were going to sit where they were at and just be in the state they were in. Or they were going to go to Jesus and they would say, you know what? We're going to lay our excuses down, but we are choosing change. Because choosing excuses is actually easy. You know, all of us have our own excuses, things that hinder us from God. And we can choose those things, or we can choose change, where we want to go to Jesus. And change can look very uncomfortable. Change can look so, so uncomfortable and so hard. But these guys were willing to barge through doors and walls, and they were saying, you know what, it doesn't matter. We will do this until we encounter Jesus Christ. So there are things, there are excuses that we keep, that we have, that keep us from experiencing Jesus fully. And what are those for you? What is that for you? Because either you're going to choose those excuses or you will choose change. And that change is when you go to Jesus Christ and you allow him to change your life. You allow him to touch your life. So just looking at this story, there is something amazing that happens to this person when they go and encounter Jesus. And the same happens to us. There are two things that happen. Number one, you know, through an encounter with Jesus, you know, we experience forgiveness of sin. That's what happens with this person. When he encountered Jesus, when this sick person encountered Jesus, he actually received forgiveness of sin. But also secondly, you know, through an encounter with Jesus, we experience healing for our deepest wounds. We experience healing for our deepest wounds. And physically, it did happen for this person that actually was healed physically. But I want to look more deeply into that. You know, and, you know, when I was looking into this story, I was just wondering, and actually I've been thinking about this for a long time now. Like, why is it that Jesus Christ heals this person, but before he heals them, actually forgives them? He forgives them and also heals them. He does these two things. And I've been thinking about, like, why was that? Why is it that Jesus Christ didn't just say, hey, be healed, or didn't just say, be forgiven and then go, but actually he wanted to do these two things? And the first reason, I think it's very obvious that you see it in this story, because when Jesus Christ says to this man, your sins are forgiven, scripture says that having looked at the faith, you know, of his friends and his faith, Jesus Christ says to him, your sins are forgiven. And then there is people that are wondering, like, come on, who is this person that can forgive sin? And the Bible says they were thinking of these things in their hearts. So they were not mentioning these things out loud or saying these things out loud. They were just thinking about these things in their own hearts. But Jesus Christ says to them, because he knew what they were thinking, hey, why are you thinking these things in your heart? But I wanted to let you know that the Son of Man, that him, Jesus Christ himself, has the power, the authority to forgive sin. So he asked the question, which one is easier, to forgive sin or to say to this man, get up and walk? Which one is easier? And nobody could have answered that question, because there's nothing easy about this. It's not easy to say to someone, get up and walk. It's not easy to say to someone, you know, your sins are wiped away. You are forgiven. So Jesus Christ says to them, to this person, you are forgiven, because Jesus Christ was proving that he is God. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can rescue us. Only God can come to our rescue and give us rest for our, to, you know, because of our sin. He can give us rest. He can rescue us. So Jesus Christ says, I forgive you. I forgive you. Until when you go to Jesus Christ, you will never receive that assurance from God that you are forgiven. That you are forgiven. You are his. You belong to him. You are forgiven. So Jesus Christ says you are forgiven, because Jesus Christ is God, is God. But I think there is another reason why, and I think this does not come easily from what we're seeing here. There is a reason why Jesus Christ would heal, would forgive and heal at the same time. And I think it's because, I think when we sin, we don't sin out of a vacuum. There is a level of brokenness that happens within us. This is why there are people that struggle with certain sins and that more than others. So you can say, hey, why do you gossip a lot? You know, why do you do that more? Why are you falling into that over and over again? It's because every single one of us carry a level of brokenness, and because of that brokenness, therefore, we become prone to certain sins. And I believe that, you know, that there is wounding. You know, all of us carry these kinds of wounds, and that we carry and that we are moving with. Because wherever you're going, you are carrying a level of brokenness. And this can never be sorted with, you know, change of environment. Like, oh, I've moved from Lilongwe to Mzuzu, and therefore my brokenness, I've left my brokenness in Mzuzu, I mean, Lilongwe. No, it doesn't work that way. You carry your brokenness with you. You carry your brokenness with you in your marriage. You carry your brokenness with you in the relationships that you're in. You carry your brokenness with you in your school, in your home, in your workplace. You carry that brokenness with you. And because of that brokenness, it means you'll be prone to certain sins. You'll be prone to some things in your life. And I think this is why Jesus Christ wants to forgive but also heal. He wants to forgive and heal. You know, some of us, we struggle with certain sins because maybe we carry a wounding that we suffered from rejection. And that is appearing in our own life. It's being played out. Maybe some of us, you know, struggle with certain things because we are carrying a wounding that we suffered from abuse. And that is with us. You know, it's moving with us wherever we are at. Some of us, you know, struggle with certain things, maybe because we are suffering or we suffer from a wounding that came because of failure. You know, some of us carry a level of wounding in us that came because we suffered because of, you know, from betrayal. Maybe we are betrayed. You know, somebody cheated on us, or somebody cheated us in one way or another. It could be at your workplace, in a relationship, whatever it is. And therefore, you see yourself that either you lean more towards that, or, you know, you have just created a wall around you and don't want anybody else to come in. You want to just be by yourself, just because this is not just happening for the sake of happening. This is not just to do with your personality, but actually there's a wounding that you're carrying. Right now, there's a wounding that you have, a wounding that you suffered, a hurt that you suffered. And therefore, Jesus Christ wants to forgive you, but also wants to heal you. And I think we can pay attention to the forgiveness that God forgive me, but we overlook the wounds that we have. We overlook the hurts that we have suffered. And this is why it is very, very important to ask God for forgiveness, but also ask God for healing. Because forgiveness is like you're asking God for the action, you know, for the sin. But healing, you're saying, God, deal with the vulnerability that I have. It's deeper. You know, deal with this vulnerability. You know, deal with me. Heal me, God. Heal me so that I can experience your forgiveness fully. So I can experience your forgiveness fully. So there is forgiveness for you. So what is it that you need forgiveness from today? There's forgiveness for you, but also there's healing for you. Where do you want God to heal you in your life? Where do you need healing in your life? And when you go to Jesus Christ in faith, when you go to him in faith, you will be forgiven and you will be healed. Because this is what happens. You know, when Jesus Christ sees the faith of these people, you know, he says, you are forgiven. And he says, you are healed. Because when we go to God in faith, Jesus Christ honors our faith. And in fact, oh, he honors our faith by giving us something better than what we hoped for. You know, because for this man or for these people, they were just hoping this sick person would just be healed. And that's it. Like that's success right there. Just receiving healing, you know, physical healing. Like that's amazing. We came here to see him walk again. We came here to see him strong again. But Jesus Christ gives him even something better. He gives him forgiveness. You know, he says, you know what? Physical healing can be with you for a moment, but I'm giving you something that will last for a lifetime, that will last even in your next life. I'll give you forgiveness, connection with me. I'm giving you something better. So when we go to Christ in faith, he's going to give us something better, something that it's beyond our hopes, something amazing, something glorious. So Jesus, go to him, go to Jesus, have an encounter with God, but go to him in faith because he'll honor that faith and give you something better. Now, our friend here needed friends to carry him to Jesus Christ. Because of the wounds that we carry, sometimes we need to have other people that can come alongside us to trust God alongside us for our own healing. And maybe that's what we need to do. We need to have people that can carry us and say, hey, I'm coming alongside you, carrying us to Jesus, you know, standing with us in faith, going to Jesus Christ. And some things you might say, I will deal with it by myself. But you need a community. You need a community of believers that can come alongside you. Or maybe some of us need to actually think, hey, there are people that need us, that we should stand with them in faith. People around us, in our families, people around us that need Jesus and that we need to stand with them in faith. And that, you know what, either we're going to choose excuses or we're going to choose change for them that they can get only from Christ. Are we willing to stand with them and say, let's go to Jesus together. Let's go to Christ together. So I have a few questions that you guys can consider today in your small groups. If you have friends or family, maybe you guys can just talk through these three questions. Number one, what excuses should we lay down that often acts as a hindrance to the change that we can receive from Jesus? What excuses should we lay down? You know, excuses that we often carry, you know, that can be a hindrance to the change we can receive from Christ. Question number two, and feel free to share this with those around you. What wounds are you carrying right now that you have seen at play in your life? And maybe you have seen them at play in the past or now, and that you know that I need healing from this, from Jesus Christ. And you can share this. You can do this as however deep or however, small. It's up to you, you know, however comfortable you're feeling. But maybe this is a moment for someone right now who can say, you know what, I've been carrying this wound for a long time. I need healing from Jesus. And maybe you could do that in the community that you're in today. And lastly, why are you trusting Jesus to do for you? What are you trusting Jesus to do for you? Let's pray together. When we're talking about Jesus and you're wondering, how can I have a connection with God? How can I have a connection with Jesus? And you're yet to give your life to Jesus. I just want to invite you to just pray with me this prayer right now. Just do it after me. Say, Jesus Christ, I come to you. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I know you love me. I want to live in that love. I want to live in that love. So forgive me, God. Have mercy on me. Spirit of God, help me walk in the way of Jesus. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for every single one of us. God, I pray that we will be affirmed of the forgiveness that we receive from you. And God, I just pray actually for our church. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for where we have fallen short. Forgive us, God, for the way we have treated other people. Forgive us, God, for the things that we have said. Forgive us, God. Have mercy on us, God. Forgive us, Lord, for overlooking your word. Forgive us, God. Have mercy on us. Forgive us, God, for the things that we have done that you do not approve. But also forgive us for the things that we did not do that you want us to do. Forgive us, Lord. And God, I pray for healing for our church. May you heal our community, Lord. May you heal us to the glory of Jesus. I pray, God, that there will be healing, deeper healing to the wounds that we carry. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. May we just worship God one more time together. And then we're going to finish our time together.
Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the Flood-Lilongwe podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood-Lilongwe YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.